You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Various Artists with Francis and Leah. You can text us at 5395 and call us at 309-3879. Underneath me right now is the beautiful main theme to Dredge. This is a cosmic horror fishing game made by Black Salt Games, indie game development studio based in Otatahi, with cosmic horror atmospheres underneath the ocean surface. You'll be able to explore remote parts of the ocean, trade fish for gold, and try not to be killed by terrifying cyclops fish lurking underneath the water. If you're a fan of fishing minigames and RPGs, or you just like a good spooky atmosphere, this game is definitely for you. It's both beautiful and terrifying, incredibly well written, and all around a great time. I had a chat with some of the team behind Dredge about the development of the game, the horror of the ocean, and more. Kia ora, could you three quickly introduce yourselves and what you each do at Black Salt Games?
Hi, my name's Joel Mason and I'm the programmer and writer at Black Salt Games.
Hi, I'm Alex Ritchie, I'm the lead artist and creative director.
And I'm Michael Bastians, I'm a 3D artist and animator on the project.
Well, could you give me a quick little elevator pitch on Dredge?
So our elevator pitch, I think, is about 4 words long. It is a cosmic horror fishing adventure, which I think maybe tells you all you need to know. On the surface, it appears to be a fishing game, sort of cozy looking, real pretty graphics, and you sort of head out in your boat and you catch fish, and you try to keep an eye on the time, because if the sun sets, the darkness rolls in and things come out on the water at night that you don't want to come across.
Where did the idea for a supernatural fishing game come from? It's quite two different ends of the spectrum.
On one hand, it's sort of cozy fishing. On the other side, it's horror, cosmic horror specifically. I can't really say exactly where it came from. It just seemed like a really natural fit. I've always liked fishing mini games in other games, and the original pitch for it was to try to sort of turn that into a longer game that focused around it. And yeah, I mean, the ocean is a scary place. It just sort of made sense for a lot of those horror elements to come through.
Is that kind of like fear of the ocean something that came through you guys specifically, or is it more of a general observation?
Yes, there's always something creepy about just being alone out in the middle of nowhere, and I think that's what our game does a really good job of, throwing you into that kind of situation.
Yes, there's a lot of isolation themes in the game, but yeah, on a personal note, as a kid I was afraid of the deep end of the pool, so definitely some thalassophobia in there.
Yeah, I watched Jaws and so yeah, that was a thing. And I even had a swimming pool, and then I was always terrified of going into the deep end of the swimming pool, because at the other end of it, that vision kind of like blurs out. It's like there's a shark in there somewhere.
As like a kid, I was kind of like tricked into watching Jaws by my uncle, but I was too young to understand what was actually happening. So only my older sister was actually scared, whilst me and my brother were just like, what's going on there? Who knows? So maybe kids will have no fear of this game. Who knows? But yeah, speaking of, like, how have you balanced the RPG-based fishing mechanics in this game with the horror side of things?
So the horror side of things, it's almost an optional part of the game. I mean, everybody will experience it to different levels. As I said before, the daytime in the game's day-night cycle is reasonably pleasant. It's a little unsettling, but by and large, things won't jump out at you during the day. And if you choose to, you can sleep through the night times and not experience a lot of the scarier stuff if you want to. We are not particularly horror gamers ourselves. We just really like the atmosphere in horror games. So we wanted to allow players to sort of self-balance how much horror they wanted. And then the RPG elements are basically, you know, we just really wanted to create this satisfying loop of going out, catching fish, and coming back, and then upgrading your boat so you can fish better. So there's a lot of those sort of familiar loops in there.
It's interesting to kind of hear about how you guys aren't necessarily horror gamers in the typical sense of things where the only point is to scare and throw in jump scares, but it's more about creating an atmosphere. What's sort of gone into that formation?
I think we try to put atmosphere and tone at the forefront of everything we do. The name Dredge is, you know, sort of deliberately adjacent to the word dread itself. We've got a number of different things we do with the art to make the characters seem sort of prickly and unapproachable, I guess. There's sound design that goes into it, and then also, of course, the writing really sets the tone off. So there's so many things. We just try to put tone into everything.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that kind of scary side, it goes back to what we were just saying just briefly beforehand about the swimming pool thing, where you can't kind of see what's in there, but your mind makes you think that you've seen something else. And then because we do a lot of things with, like, how the fog rolls in, it limits your vision, there's all the spooky sounds that might pop up in the background, and then you kind of just make the horror up yourself when you're trying to imagine what might be there. And then so the people that might be after, like, a true kind of, like, Resident Evil jump scare horror game, they're probably not going to get the same sort of, like, horror experience out of that compared to someone else that is literally going to be scared of everything that goes bump in the night.
And the color, the models, and the art design in this game as a whole are absolutely gorgeous and at times quite terrifying. What has gone into the creation of these visuals?
A lot. It's the kind of... a lot of the look came from our prototype, which was kind of like a really low poly looking a simple thing. And it was kind of surprising how well the low poly, the kind of simple cartoony art worked with the spooky atmosphere as well. I think something about the contrast was really jarring and kind of novel to people. So we kept that from the prototype. That was a big influence. And then we've just tried to put as many kind of unique bits into it as possible. So you've probably noticed the art style is kind of harsh for a cartoony art style. So there's another contrast that we've tried to put into there. A lot of hard edges where cartoony styles would usually have curves or something like that. You don't see a lot of gradients outside of environmental effects in our game. It's quite harsh, but sometimes it's a weird combination of, like, beautiful and ugly.
Are there any pieces of games or animation or comics that have influenced this decision to combine the cuter, more aesthetically pleasing side of things with the harsh sharpness of the characters?
I'm not sure there's any specifically that are like that were inspirations that were kind of like cartoony or cute, but I've always been inspired by more games that have like more painterly art styles or are not afraid of being more abstract or showing, you know, brush strokes or like the artist's hand in the work. So I've tried to get a lot of more abstract elements into it, which kind of reinforced the mysterious tone of the game as well. I mean, if something's only half defined, then you get to complete it in your mind, which is similar to how the horror works in our game as well.
So how long has this game actually been in development for?
It'll be pretty much exactly 2 years and 2 months, I think. And not a huge amount of time.
That's actually, yeah, that's really impressive to be able to make a game at this scale within such a short period of time. Actually, yeah, on that note, how has it kind of been throwing it together for you guys?
It's been good. You know, this is our first sort of mainstream release, I guess, for us as a team. We've worked together before at a different company doing sort of games for other people, but this is our first game for us. And, you know, hitting all the large platforms like Steam and Switch and PlayStation and Xbox and all those things has been a great learning for us and a great opportunity to hit a wider audience. But yeah, building it was a great process. I think we did it in a really interesting way. We sort of added layers and layers to the game as we built on it. We put the whole thing together pretty early on. Like, you could sort of complete the game in the first 6 months, but it was all sort of gray boxes and cubes and stuff everywhere. And we just sort of added layers of complexity and prettiness to everything as we went on.
Mm. Yeah, the reason that I bring up when the game started development is because you mentioned the fear of isolation earlier, and kind of the time that this game sort of started development would have been right in the midst of the COVID pandemic. Has that influenced or affected the way that you've designed this game or come up with the concept at all?
That's a really interesting point. I don't think I've actually considered that isolation came from COVID lockdown, perhaps subconsciously. But yeah, in terms of the way that we developed the game, certainly there were a lot of periods where we were all working from home and separately, but we managed to get a good amount of time sort of in the office together, all working on the same page, that allowed us to really get the right direction for the game before we had to sort of work separately.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the fact that, yeah, like John mentioned, we'd worked together beforehand, but we've been doing games for the better part of like 10 years plus working in the industry. So for us, we kind of know how each other work. So it makes it really easy for us to kind of communicate to each other when we expect something done or when to get something done. So it was easy for us to work remotely. And also, we're a pretty small team. There's only like the four of us that are predominantly working on this project anyway. So when we just know that, all right, if we're doing a design thing, then we probably want to have all of us involved. But other than that, it'll be, all right, I'll be focusing on some of the 3D stuff. Alex is going to be drawing I don't know how many extra fish. And then Joel's probably going to be writing up half the story and then trying to make sure that when you click the button, the actual right part of the story comes up.
Speaking of the story, I'd love to learn more about your setting of Greater Marrow. What can you guys tell me about this place and the people that inhabit it?
So Greater Marrow is, what's the opposite of up and coming? a dilapidated old town. Sort of on the brink of collapse, I suppose, as are a lot of our towns in the game. The inhabitants are definitely very cagey. They know a lot of things and they're not all prepared to tell you everything. They may open up a little bit more as the game progresses, but yeah, a lot of the characters in the game have some sort of sinister tone to them that you may be able to unravel over the course of the game.
Would you consider this title to be very narrative-driven with the different interactions that you can have with characters and overall as a plot-driven title, I guess?
I would say yes and no in a weird way. Originally, when we started, we thought we would have very minimal story. We know that people don't necessarily like reading pages and pages of text all the time, but there was definitely a focus on making that all optional, so allowing players to dig into the story if they wanted to, but keeping the sort of main lines of text really concise, really clear on what their purpose is, just so that players know what to do really quickly, and then providing those options for people to dig into the story if they want to. So now it is, yeah, a pretty heavily story-based game, but again, it's sort of optional as to how much you want to get into it.
It's like the two sides of that story, I guess, that we've kind of got. So there's the one that if you are the kind of person that doesn't want to dive deep and read a lot of the kind of hidden lore and stuff that we put throughout the game, then you're not going to get the full story behind things. But for those that do dig deeper, there is a lot of story to kind of page through.
And speaking of digging, or more so diving deep, what's gone into the design and I guess creation of these different fish creatures?
There was a lot of inspiration from just the actual ocean. So all of the fish you find in the game are based on, quite directly based on, real species that exist in the world. There are a few New Zealand species in the game, but they're sort of, you know, scattered from around the world as well. Each species in the game also has sort of twisted, corrupted, aberrated specimens that you can find. You know, sort of imagine a three-headed fish or a fish with one giant cyclopean eye. Those are less real. But they're a lot of fun to design.
Like artistically, it was the main challenge with the normal fish is just kind of getting them into the shape that we need for our inventory system, because each fish needs like most of them need like a unique shape. They need to fit into something to create kind of an interesting puzzle for players. And then a lot of the real fun was making the aberrated versions, like Joel said, and just kind of going wild and putting like whatever ideas we can think of and seeing if they work.
And what sort of things have you tried to add to boost the sort of gloomy atmosphere via the sound design and the score of this game?
So I think one of the approaches we took to the sound design was, again, that feeling of sparseness and isolation. So there's not music playing all the time. You'll get the odd musical stinger throughout the day as you're sailing around fishing. And these tracks are anywhere from 20 to 50 seconds long. They're not particularly large or intrusive, but they sort of punctuate the day. And then as night falls, the music fades away and you're left with the sounds of the ocean or the imagined deep underneath. So that creates a further difference between the daytime experience and the nighttime experience.
The other thing we did is hired a fantastic composer. His name is David Mason, and he's a New Zealand-based guy as well.
What are you hoping for players to take away from this game?
I think I want players to think about this game after they stop playing it. I think my number one thing is I want our players to sort of come together and speculate and talk about what might have really happened in the game, because most of the time we don't really lay it out for you, and you sort of have to piece things together yourself.
Yeah, that would be amazing. I want to, yeah, if I see people speculating and coming up with ideas, if I see somebody who's come up with a theory and it's like amazing, that would be successful for me.
It's exactly that. And then for people to kind of just like, because like we mentioned beforehand, we allow players to kind of play the game at the pace or at the rate that they kind of want to experience it. Like if you want to do the whole, I just want to collect all the fish approach, then there's that. And then there's something for the people that just want to experience just the story. So as long as they can walk away going like, that's exactly what I was hoping to get out of this game, then I'd be pretty happy with that.
At the moment, as people will be listening to this Friday, I believe Dredge will have just released.
Yeah, so Dredge releases on PC on the 31st of New Zealand, 31st of March, New Zealand time, 5 a.m. But console releases slightly earlier, so it will already be out on all platforms by the time this goes out.
That does mean that our listeners can get right onto the train with it and jump straight into it after they listen to this interview. But I'd love to know what's next for Black Salt Games beyond just updating and keeping Dredge running.
I think that'll be something that we have to figure out ourselves after we take a look at how the launch of the game has done. Certainly we've got ideas that we want to explore, but I'm not sure exactly where they will take us yet.
Exactly that. Like, there's so many paths available to us now, I think. So it's like, we're just looking forward to seeing how this release goes. And then, like Joel said, we will pretty much see where to go from there, whether it's more Dredge, maybe it's something else. Who knows at this point in time?
Well, I'm incredibly excited to play this game this coming weekend. I think that you guys have done an absolutely spectacular job, and I'm really grateful that you guys chatted to me. I hope that you guys have a great rest of your week, and good luck for the launch period.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Wrong mic. That was Joel, Alex, and Mikey from Black Salt Games chatting about their debut title, Dredge, a supernatural fishing RPG. The game is out as of today. It's available on Steam, Xbox One and Series, PS4 and 5, and the Nintendo Switch. So you've got no excuse. Go out and support your local indie devs and get your hands on it. I've also had their wonderful soundtrack, as I said before, put together by Dave Mason, playing, which you can also grab on Steam.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.